Sarah Cohen was never the kind of person to believe in the paranormal. She believed in facts. She was a high school English teacher, organized to a fault, someone who color-coded lesson plans and labeled her spice jars. She lived alone in a quiet apartment complex in Spokane, Washington. After her divorce in 2008, she had grown used to the stillness of the nights, the hum of the refrigerator, the occasional passing car, and the silence that wrapped itself around everything after midnight. But in April of 2009, at exactly 2:17 a.m., her phone rang. It was a landline. She still used one back then. When it rang, she was already half asleep, but instinctively picked it up. "Hello," she said, groggy. Silence. No voice. No background noise. No static. Just clean, intentional silence. She stayed on the line for about 15 seconds, repeating "hello" twice more. Then she hung up. The call left her unsettled, but not enough to think about it for more than a day. Until the following year. April 19, 2010. 2:17 a.m. Her phone rang again. Same number. Same silence. This time, she sat up straight in bed, wide awake. She listened longer. Counted the seconds. Nothing. When she hung up, her fingers trembled slightly. She wrote down the number. In the morning, she called her phone provider. The number, they said, was unregistered. Prepaid. Likely disposable. There was no way to trace its source. Could be a robocall, the technician suggested. Could be spam. But spam calls don't arrive to the second. Every year. On the same date. By the fourth call, Sarah had a routine. She would prepare for it, stay up, cup of tea on the nightstand, phone beside her. She never told friends. It felt absurd. What could she even say? "There's a ghost calling me once a year?" Still, she kept records, every detail. Date. Time. Duration. Call logs. And every year, it remained consistent. April 19th. 2:17 a.m. One ring. One silence. She tried answering in different ways. Sometimes she'd say, "I'm listening." Other times she remained silent herself, trying to mirror it. A few times she yelled into the receiver, "Who is this? What do you want?" But the response was always the same. Nothing. In 2015, she contacted the local police. She brought them a folder of printouts. Records. Notes. All very neatly compiled. The officer on duty took it politely, promised to look into it, but seemed unconvinced. No threats had been made. No crime had occurred. And so, the folder sat. Somewhere in a drawer. By 2017, Sarah stopped trying to rationalize it. Instead, she started looking into the date itself. April 19th. What happened on that date? It was the day the Waco siege ended in 1993, a deadly, infamous standoff. It was the day of the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. It was also, oddly enough, the anniversary of the first shots of the American Revolutionary War, in Lexington and Concord, back in 1775. So yes, April 19th had a dark history. But none of it connected to Sarah. And then, on a whim, she pulled out her high school yearbooks. She'd gone to school in Montana, long before she ever moved to Spokane. The names, faces, and messages flipped past like artifacts from another life. And then she saw him. Mason Delaney. He was quiet, solitary, often unnoticed. He used to sit a few rows behind her in chemistry. They were never friends. Not really. But she remembered one moment clearly. After a bad breakup, she had left a small folded note in Mason's locker. Just a line or two of kindness. "Some days feel heavy. You're not alone." She never knew if he read it. Now, looking at his photo, a name tugged at something deep. She searched online. Mason had died in a car accident in 1999. Single vehicle crash. Late at night. No passengers. It had been ruled accidental. Blood alcohol, 0. Phone records indicated he had tried calling someone just before impact. No one picked up. Time of death. 2:17 a.m. April 19th. Sarah stared at the screen. The coincidence was hard to shake. She checked her own records. She'd moved to Spokane in 2005. Changed phone numbers in 2006. The calls started in 2009. Could someone be playing a long, elaborate joke? Possible, but why? And who would wait a year between each prank? She searched for relatives of Mason. Found none listed. Then she remembered her senior yearbook. Mason had signed it. In neat, slanted handwriting. Thank you for noticing. You were the first. M.D. She hadn't seen the message since high school. Sarah posted her story anonymously on a local paranormal forum. She didn't say she believed it was a ghost. She didn't say she believed in anything. She just wanted to know if anyone else had experienced something similar. Most replies were generic. The usual internet noise. But one comment stuck with her. Some people never got to say goodbye. Some never got the chance to feel seen. Maybe silence is all they have left. The calls continued every year. She changed phones. Switched carriers. Moved apartments. And still, the phone rang. Once. Always at 2:17. Always on April 19th. Always from that same empty number. Until 2022. That year, she waited. She stayed up. Tea ready. Lights off. Sitting on the edge of her bed. 2:16 a.m. 2:17 a.m. 2:18 a.m. Nothing. She waited another hour. No call came. And in the strangest way, she felt grief. As though something had ended. As if someone, or something, had finally let go. Sarah doesn't know what the calls meant. She never got an answer. But she says she learned something unexpected. The strangest part wasn't the mystery, she told us. It was that I started to expect it. To look forward to it. As if that 1 minute of silence each year made me feel like someone remembered me, too. She still keeps her phone on loud every April 19th. Just in case. Because some mysteries aren't meant to be solved. Some connections don't need to speak. And some voices echo through time without ever saying a word. This was Human Echoes. I'm your host. Until next time, stay open, stay curious. And if your phone rings at 2:17 a.m., don't be afraid to answer. You may not hear a voice. But that doesn't mean no one is listening.